Welcome to the RCF Podcast. Alice is here with me today, and on this episode, we are going to look at one of the most popular verses in the Bible in our current day. People who don't know any other Bible verse love to quote this one. Even people who aren't evangelists love to share this verse. And that verse is...
Matthew 7:1, judge not that you be not judged.
That's right. People love to share their biblical knowledge by saying, Jesus said, don't judge. They say, we're not supposed to judge anybody in any way. So we want to look at this passage in context and ask, is that true? Are we never supposed to judge anyone? What did Jesus mean by judging? Let's look at Matthew chapter 7, and then there's also the parallel passage in Luke chapter 6. In both of those, Jesus says, judge not, and you will not be judged.
Well, part of the problem is that people don't read beyond verse 1 of Matthew 7, where he expounds more on the topic.
Correct. So what is Jesus saying when he says, judge not? The second verse in Matthew actually helps to clarify a little bit of what Jesus means. Because he goes on to say, for with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. What he's saying there is, if you're the judge, then you know the law. You know what's right and wrong. And so, when you go on to break the law yourself, you can't plead ignorance, especially if you break the law in the same way.
Exactly. You're going to be held to that standard that you judge other people on.
God is telling us that by judging others, we show that we know what's right and wrong, and we can be condemned for that very sin. We see that not only in Matthew 7 and Luke 6, but we also see this in Romans chapter 2. The Apostle Paul says, therefore, you have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges. For in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself, because you, the judge, practice the very same things. We know that the judgment of God rightly falls on those who practice such things. Do you suppose, O man, you who judge those who practice such things and yet do them yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? In those verses there, what is Paul calling out?
He's calling out hypocrisy.
Right. That's the lesson, that if you know enough to judge other people, then you can't be surprised when God judges you according to the same standard. So I think this ties in exactly with what Jesus is saying there in Matthew 7 and Luke 6.
But does that mean that we should never judge anyone? If you go down a little further in Matthew chapter 7, and even in the Luke 6 passage as well, Jesus asks, why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there's a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye.
So in context, it's again a lesson about hypocrisy.
Yes, he's not telling us to disregard our brother, or that we should never help our brother see the speck that's in his eye. He's saying, check your own heart first, and then you'll be able to rightly handle your brother's problem. In a sense, judge yourself first and make sure that you're not being hypocritical or that you're not seeking to condemn your brother. Check your own heart and your own life, and then you'll be in the right mindset and heart posture to actually help your brother. But seeing the speck in your brother's eye definitely involves making a judgment call.
Yeah, if we're going to just overlook something that's wrong with another person, then we can't live out this passage. We have to, if we're going to truly be obedient to what Christ has said, we should care about our fellow believers enough that we want to help them if they're living in sin, even if it is just a speck. But one of the problems with judging others is that we too are sinners.
Absolutely.
We can often be guilty of the exact same thing that we're accusing other people of, which is the very definition of hypocrisy. And that's exactly what he's warning us against. Don't judge hypocritically, calling out another person while indulging in that sin yourself. Because it's often easy to see sin in other people. But Jesus said, we shouldn't do that to the neglect of our own sinful state.
Right. Going even further in Matthew 7, starting at verse 15, Jesus says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. So he's telling us there to look at people's fruit, examine it, and determine whether it's good or bad.
That's judgment in a sense, right?
It is indeed. That is judgment. We are making judgment calls based on the fruit that we see in other people's lives.
Yeah, and specifically in that context, he's even warning of false prophets or false teachers. I know that we covered this on our episodes number 36 and 37 about false teachers, but think about if we lived according to the way that most people in our society think we should live and the way that most people interpret Matthew 7:1, never confront anyone. If that were the case, we would never be able to say anything about false teachers or false prophets, right? And what happens if we say nothing?
Well, then people are misled and then they get hurt. They don't learn how to be discerning in determining what's true and what's not true.
Yeah, so the false teachers could do much damage in the church. False teachers are notorious for telling you not to judge because they don't want you coming after them. But not judging them rightly only leads to more harm in the church. It's also true in regards to other believers. Think of sin in the church. If we just went along with the idea that we should never say anything to anybody about sin because that would be judging them, then what happens within the church, within the Christian community? What happens if we're not addressing that sin in one another's lives?
Then people think that sin is okay, or that we can sin and still have a good relationship with God. In fact, Paul addresses that in 1 Corinthians 5, because there was a man in that church who was engaging in sexual immorality, but the people in that church weren't concerned about it.
Yeah, he says in 1 Corinthians 5, verses 12 and 13, "For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Is it not those inside the church whom you are to judge? God judges those outside. Purge the evil person from among you." So first of all, he tells us not to focus on judging the unbelievers in the world, because of course they're going to sin. We expect that. But when I read that passage, it's really helpful because by Paul saying, "Is it not those inside the church whom we are to judge?" that shows us that this isn't a contradiction with what Jesus taught, or even what he himself wrote in Romans 2.
I think it's helpful to have even more context if you back up a few more verses. Starting in verse 9, he says, "I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people, not at all meaning the sexually immoral of this world, or the greedy and swindlers or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. But now I'm writing to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of brother, if he is guilty of sexual immorality or greed or is an idolater, reviler, drunkard, or swindler, not even to eat with such a one."
Ouch, that sounds like you're judging someone.
Yeah, what we see here is that if somebody is calling themselves a Christian and yet living in sin, it is up to us as fellow believers to come alongside that person, make the judgment call that they are living in unrepentant sin, and lovingly guide them towards repentance so that they can be in right standing with God, so that they're not damaging the church, they're not damaging the name of Christ, and so that their relationship with God can be restored.
Right, that's the ultimate goal in confronting them. But some may argue, okay, that's Paul, and Paul's contradicting Jesus here. And so if it's Paul contradicting Jesus, I'm always going to go with Jesus. That's the kind of thing that we hear these days, right? But Paul doesn't contradict Jesus, as we've already shown. But in fact, Jesus in John chapter 7, verse 24 says this, "Do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment." Wait a minute here. Jesus just said, judge with right judgment. So we are not to judge hypocritically, but we are to judge with right judgment. How do we do that? How do we know what that is? What is right judgment?
That's a great question.
Right judgment is not the way we feel. So we don't judge out of emotion. We don't judge out of our preferences, because those can change and those can be subjective. But if we judge with right judgment, we're judging according to God's standard, which is expressed explicitly in his word. And so that's why if we're going to confront a fellow believer, it has to be with the authority of God's word. It's not our authority. Hear me on this. When we judge according to God's word, we're not actually placing ourselves in the seat of the judge. We're just communicating what the ultimate judge, God, has already communicated.
Right. So we are to judge with right judgment.
I think that's important for us to understand how to judge. We don't want to do it out of human wisdom, and again, out of our emotions or preferences. But we want to look at God's word and clearly help others see when they're straying from God's word. To judge rightly, it means we're going to have to weigh the evidence and draw a conclusion. So to an extent, that's what we're doing. We're looking at the evidence. It's actually kind of funny that on several occasions, I've had people who insisted that we shouldn't judge. But those people, when they didn't like what I had to say, they left RCF. Or I even had one person block me on social media when I tried to explain to her the context of Matthew 7, since she was saying that she doesn't judge anyone. Isn't that ironic? People like that do exactly what they claim no one should do. They're judging. And that just goes to show that everyone judges in some form or fashion. The question is, are you judging with right judgment? But here's what we also have to be careful of. Not only beware of hypocrisy and merely trusting our own opinion, but we also have to be careful of judging motives, because we cannot know a person's heart.
Correct.
To presume someone's motive would be to judge unfairly, but we can weigh the evidence. If someone's actually doing something wrong, something sinful, then we can speak up about that. If someone is doing something right, but we think with the wrong motives, that is what we can't judge. This kind of goes into what Paul was saying in the book of Philippians when he talked about the people preaching with the wrong motives. They were preaching the right message with the wrong motive, and Paul didn't focus on that. He said some people are going to preach out of envy or rivalry, but what ultimately mattered was that the gospel was going forward.
Right.
So we can't know a person's motive unless they tell us. Now, if a person tells us their motive, then yes, we may know it. Otherwise, we really have to weigh things based on evidence, and that's how we are to judge. One other argument that I hear, and I could certainly foresee coming in response to what we're saying here, is someone saying, but Jesus himself didn't judge. In fact, in John 8, verse 15, Jesus said, "You judge according to the flesh, I judge no one." And then in John chapter 12, verse 47, Jesus said, "If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world." So what do we do with those verses? Jesus said, as we've already seen, don't judge. And then he tells us to judge with right judgment. And now he's telling us he himself doesn't judge. What are we to make of that?
Well, I think we have to look at the rest of Scripture, but also specifically the verses following those. You mentioned John 8:15. Well, John 8:16 says, "Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me." So he's saying, I'm not judging you now, but if I were to judge you, I would be judging you correctly. I would be judging you rightly, because it's not just me, it's also God the Father.
And then in John chapter 12, immediately following verse 47, where he said he came not to judge, but to save the world, he says in verse 48, "The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day." There he's saying that you will be judged ultimately. I think what we need to recognize in both of those passages is that Jesus, when he came the first time, he didn't come to condemn the world. He could have, but instead he came to bring salvation, and his mission when he came was the cross. But certainly, as you said, if we read the rest of Scripture, that's not all of the story. The rest of the story shows us that Jesus will return, and that when he returns, he will judge the world. And so we can't say that Jesus never judges. I think the example that Jesus set forth for us during his earthly ministry was that he didn't judge in the sense of condemning someone. He didn't pronounce a final judgment on people, but instead he gave them the opportunity to repent. And so when Jesus tells us not to judge, One thing that he's telling us is that we shouldn't pronounce that ultimate final judgment on someone. We don't condemn someone to hell. We aren't God. And we shouldn't try to put ourselves in that position. So when we think about what it means to not judge, that's key. It's not calling out someone's sin, unless we do that hypocritically, because we see that while Jesus didn't come the first time to judge the world, he was still very outspoken about sin. According to the world standards today and what people think that Jesus was like, he would have been judgy. He didn't just go around saying nice things and healing people. You know, most people today would consider what he did as judging people in terms of confronting sin.
Particularly the Pharisees. He had some very harsh words for the Pharisees. Now, it wasn't the ultimate judgment, like you said. He wasn't condemning them, but he needed to use strong words in order to help them see their hypocrisy, in order to help them see their sin.
Yeah, if you just look at Matthew chapter 23, it's full of Jesus saying to the Pharisees, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! Woe to you, blind guides!" He says this over and over, which we would say...
it sounds pretty judgy.
Yeah. We don't have time to read Matthew 23 in its entirety, but I would encourage you, the listeners, just read through that entire chapter and understand that even when Jesus came the first time and said he didn't come to judge, he certainly comes across pretty harsh in that chapter.
But I think he's certainly the example for us in right judgment.
Yeah, he calls out false teachers for who they are, and he's ultimately calling sinful people to repentance. And that's what we all should do. Again, the wrong way to judge would be to judge by our own standards, by subjective standards. It would also be wrong to judge hypocritically, as we pointed out from Romans chapter 2. And it would be wrong to judge selectively. That's something we haven't talked about yet. But if we judge with partiality, Proverbs 24 says, "Partiality in judging is not good." We must call evil, evil. We can't say that just because somebody is our friend or somebody that we like, or maybe even somebody in our theological camp, that we're going to let them off the hook. That's judging with partiality. Judging with partiality is also not looking at yourself while looking at others. You judge with partiality in favor of yourself.
I'm reminded of James 2, where he talks about showing partiality and how if you do show partiality, he says in verse 4, "Have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts?" So again, if we show favoritism towards one person, maybe don't judge them or judge them less harshly than we do somebody else, that's partiality and that's a sin.
And then certainly we would be wrong to judge as if we know somebody's heart, their motivation, as we said earlier. We can't judge as God judges because only God knows the heart. Only God sees everything. So when we think of a judge, even in our judicial system, they take the evidence, they weigh it from what they can see, and they pronounce a judgment.
And they have a set of laws that's guiding them. They didn't create the laws, but they're to uphold the law. So they're not saying, "Well, I don't think you broke a law." It's clear. You either did or you didn't. It's black and white.
If the evidence isn't there, they don't pronounce that judgment. And so I think that's what we got to be careful of. One other thing I wanted to say in terms of judgment as we think about this is we all want to be free from judgment. This is why so many people use a verse like Matthew 7, "Judge not." Nobody wants to be judged. I think that's one reason why we don't address the speck in another's eye is because we don't want someone calling out sin in our own life. But I don't think that's what Jesus had in mind. You don't get to dodge accountability by simply not keeping someone else accountable or not addressing their sin. But it seems that many people are under that impression. But nobody really wants to have somebody else looking at their life and telling them they're wrong. Because we all want to be independent, autonomous beings. But this is where, if we understand the spiritual war, even in our heart, we understand that we're taking a good desire and we're twisting it. That desire to be free from judgment is ultimately our longing to be in right relationship to God, to not be under His wrath and judgment, because we understand that judgment is not a pleasant thing in those terms. It's not the way it was supposed to be initially, but we twist that right desire to not be under His judgment, and then we want to be outside of authority altogether, including God's authority. And this plays out in our human relationships as well. We don't want other human beings judging us because that reminds us that we're not autonomous. It reminds us that our fellow believers are the visible representation of Christ on this earth as they call us to live under the authority of God. That's one of their roles as representatives of Christ. In our flesh, we want to push back against them, and therefore we're pushing back against God. Because if believers are rightly approaching us, confronting us in our sin, then it's not their authority by which they do that. It's ultimately God's authority. And so we need to recognize that. We need to recognize that when we push back, when we say, "Don't judge me," it's really that desire to not be under authority. And that's not a good thing.
No, you are under authority, whether you want to be or not. And as Philippians 2 says, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So you will either submit now willingly, or you will submit later, probably unwillingly. Ultimately, you're under his authority.
Absolutely. I hope that this perhaps gives you a few things to think about regarding those famous words of Jesus, to judge not. If you've been someone who says that to people, I hope that you'll think deeper about what it actually means. Search the scriptures, read the larger context, and let's be faithful followers of Jesus, who refrain from judging in the ways that the Word tells us to do so, and yet still be judging rightly according to the scripture. We really hope that you found this episode to be helpful, and we appreciate you all listening to the RCF podcast. If you have questions or suggestions for a future podcast, you can email us, podcast@rhodefellowship.com. If you'd like more information on Rhode Christian Fellowship, visit us on the web at rhodefellowship.com or our Instagram page at rhodefellowship.com.